John 17. I'm starting with verse 21. Hear ye the word of the Lord. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe you sent me. And the glory that you have given me, I have given them. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our focus scripture for today is verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Now, we've been having fun with this, haven't we, y'all? So today we're talking about beholding his glory. Scream it back at me. Behold his glory. Behold his glory. Behold his glory. Say it like you want to behold it. Behold his glory. That's right. We're talking about beholding Christ's glory that we have been learning that he didn't share with us. Isaiah was right. He didn't share it. He gave it. He gave his glory to us. So we're going to have a review about what that glory looks like. We're going to go in a little bit more detail. So glory is the great praise, the splendor. It's the honor of God. It's the glory of God, and it is the splendor that comes from God. And most of all, the glory of the Lord is the expression of God's personhood. Scream it back at me. The expression of God's personhood. On just a regular run-of-the-mill, simple level, look around. Lawrence, Jerry, Miss Loretta, Miss Martha, Miss Essie, Jay. I got it right. Malaysia, my brother, Josh, Deneen. Expressions of God's personhood in each and every one of us. And most of all, it's the manifestation of God's character. I believe that we express God's character, don't we? We're here. We put forth a good effort. So, yes, that's the manifestation of God's attribute. These are now given unto us through Christ Jesus. Does that make y'all happy? That makes me feel so good. So what does it mean to behold? Now we are beholding. Because can y'all see that they're building? They keep building this up for us. So again, to behold is to observe. We have to see. Usually when we behold something, we see it's a remarkable person or somebody who's very impressive. Doesn't get more impressive than Jesus, right? Doesn't get more impressive than you. Why is that? Somebody been listening to service. That's right. Because we are one. To behold means to appreciate. That means we catch on to this thing. We comprehend. We conceive it. We grasp it. We know it. We are seizing it. But most of all, y'all, we are maintaining it. We are retaining it. And we are understanding it. Are y'all having fun having this understanding? Well, guess what, friends? We've been promoted. 16 weeks we've been talking about spiritual beings having a human experience. Well, guess what? Late in the midnight hour, he added unto us. We are spiritual beings who are one with the Trinity, having a human experience. See, having a human experience is always going to be there, right? As long as this right here is here, as long as we're doing this right here, we are a part of the human experience. But the beautiful part is now we know, 15 weeks later, we are spiritual beings who are one with the Trinity. We've been experiencing spiritual discoveries. The mysteries are being revealed, and they're increasing it. We are being, and we have been hollowed out. Remember, that's what it means to be excavated. I forgot to say excavated. But we are being and have been excavated. Those places in our hearts that we've not been able to understand or explain, they have been hollowed out, cut away, scooped out, solid masses of that which has been keeping us apart have been dug up and dug out. It's been unearthed. It's been uncovered, exhumed, unburied, and it is being revealed. Remember the excavation from the artifacts from an archaeological dig perspective. God's been digging it out, digging it out, digging it out. And he's just not going to leave a big gaping hole. Oh, no, no, no. That's where we find the treasures. Or should I say, that's where he is revealing the treasures within us. And we are experiencing discovery because we really didn't know. I didn't. I'll say I on this one. So as spiritual beings who are one with the Trinity, we are also being expanded. Do y'all feel like y'all being expanded? Do this right here. We are being expanded. And the cool part is there's no rubber band to snap back, pop, or break and scratch us or anything. You know how you pull a rubber band or something plastic too tight and it'll snap? Psh! No worries. Because why? Our expansion is about us becoming larger in him, larger in them, larger in us. We are growing and experiencing enlargement from the spiritual perspective. We are being developed and amplified. Somebody say spiritual expansion. Now, as we are thinking about and learning about beholding his glory, this is why this word is so important for us. That we may be where Christ is, or as Christ says it, that they may be with me where I am. Please repeat after me. That they may be with me where I am. That they may be where psych with me where I am. That means y'all are paying attention. Everybody's like, yeah, that they may be with me where I am. Guess what, you guys? Where is Jesus? Jesus is one with the Father. At first, I thought it was in heaven. I ain't gonna be slick and act like, yeah, nah. I was like, well, where are you? Jesus is one with the Father. He knows he's the Son. And because of his shed blood and his graciousness, da-da, the Holy Spirit. So where is it that Christ wants us to be? One. Because that's where he is. That's where he was. One. So here comes the fun part. How do we behold his glory? And how are we able to and can be confident that we can be where Christ is? It's going to be seven aspects. Six on the screen, but seven. And as the Canton Spiritual say, it's in my heart to serve the Lord. In our hearts, in our minds, in and through our eyes, with our ears, with our mouth, with our hands, and with our feet. And this is how we will behold his glory. It starts with the heart and mind. We've talked about it before, and we say it often, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And since we've learned this, we have moved to transcending. Be ye transcended and transcending by the renewing of your mind. Because God is taking us deeper, we're being expanded, things are being excavated. Remember, he's also eliminating. The elimination and the extraction is what makes it all possible. Remember, anytime anything awkward, uncomfortable, weird happens, spiritual elimination. When does it happen? You know, I thought about this. It's not like whenever you get ready to go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm going to wait. Sometimes you can't wait. You'd be like, oh, I got to go. Spiritual elimination, because the love is so deep, it doesn't wait. So whatever has to go, remember, spiritual elimination, stomp your toe, spiritual elimination, doesn't matter what it is, spiritual elimination. And that's what keeps us moving. That's what's opening up our hearts and minds. That's why our minds are transcending. Philippians 2:11 and 4:11 says, let the same mind which be in Christ Jesus be also in us. So if we are going to be able to accept and appreciate the oneness that has been given, not shared with us, given to us, that means our minds really do have to be transformed. We're going to have a new thinking game. And it really is cool, because as we learned earlier, he who could begun a great work in us shall complete it. So look at somebody and say, so you can't mess it up. You can't. We cannot mess it up. Because why? We really are a work in progress. We are getting better and better and better and better. Look at somebody and say, every day I'm getting better and better. That's because he who begun a great work in us shall complete it. It's in our heart. And guess what else is connected there? Our mouths. I like Matthew 15:11, because that's one of those other scriptures that has really helped me too. A man is not defiled by what enter his mouth, but what comes out. No, Katie, you cannot go and eat a whole red velvet cake. I guess I could, but, you know, I don't think that would be wise. But y'all get the point. It's not what goes in me. That came whenever the disciples were eating and hadn't washed their hands. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of our mouth. Look at somebody and say, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? It's not a slip. Out of the overflow of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Oh, I was just kidding. Still overflow. Look at somebody say, it's still overflow. You thought it, you said it is still overflow. It wasn't really that funny now that I stop and think about it. Out of the overflow. And here's one that's so, it makes me think of the first principle of the four agreements. Make your words impeccable. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think it goes on to say, and you will love the fruit of it. You're going to eat the fruit of it. But it seemed like I read love somewhere. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, we make our words impeccable. Look at it from an Isaiah point of view. Since we are learning to behold the oneness and the glory that has been given to us, our words don't come back void. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Our mouth. And what about our eyes? I like this Psalm 101:3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. What does that mean? That's right there with casting down every imagination, but it also means that we are beholding the beauty. Sometimes it really may be a hard situation or picture to look at. Sometimes we just keep looking at it. Sometimes we have to close our eyes and say, I'm not looking. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I need to say that. Repeat after me. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. That means I have to reassess how I'm looking at things. Think about it. The same mind. Our minds are transcending. Would Jesus look at it that way? And then Psalms 19:18 says, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law. That gives us another perspective to see things from. We behold the wonderful, wonderful things of the law. That's where we get the freedom. That means, can we break the law down just for Jesus' sake? And he said, I give you a new commandment. Just one. Just going to make it real easy for you. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor and yourself as yourself. Upon it hinges all the law and the prophets. That's a command, which means this is a law. So guess what the new law is, y'all? It's a new sheriff in town. Guess what the new law is? Love. The new law is love. And that is a wonderful thing to behold. And here's another thing that makes this all work, especially I will not set before my eyes anything worthless. The eyes are the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Where do we need to shine some light in our bodies? There may be some sicknesses, and we may think of somebody who's in need of a healing. Maybe we should shine the light of heaven of our eyes and see them differently. I know that I've done this before. Well, you know, God, will you please pray for my mom and to be with her, and then turn around and say, well, you know, my mama's sick. It's canceling out. I'm praying for sickness to be healed, and I'm asking for a healing, but my eyes still see her as sick. So my eyes have to be opened so that my words line up, my mind, heart, it starts to line up, creeping out a little bit. I pray for her to be healed, but in my heart, you know, I still see her as sick. Not good. But that's where love comes in. Changes things for us. Next one. Psalm 24 and 1. We're familiar with this. I like the way he keeps bringing scriptures that we've used, that they've taught us before, and bring it back to us. Clean hands, pure heart. We have to have clean hands. Clean hands so that whenever we put something in our mouth, and you have to be careful about what's on your hands when you're messing with your eyes too. So when our hands are clean, our hearts are clean, our hands are clean, because they are synonymous. They go together. And I like Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do with all your might. Which takes us to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And remember that glory is for his splendor, for his honor, for all of those wonderful things, those words that come to our minds about God. This is why we keep our hands clean. And since we now know that this glory has been given to us, well, that'll just help us keep our hands clean a little bit better, won't it? And Mark 4:30, as well as Revelation, says, those who have an ear, let them what? Let them what? Those who have an ear, let them hear. We have to hear with the ears. To behold his glory, we have to hear what Christ would hear. That means we may have to stop listening to certain conversations. It may be we have to shut off some voices inside of our heads so that we can hear clearly. For Revelation 1:20 says, blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So every moment we have, that's the time we have to practice. That's the time we have to maintain, to retain, and to understand what it means for us to behold Christ's glory, that we may be with him where he is. And this is another one about our feet. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorifying your Father which is in heaven. That doesn't sound like a foot passage, but whenever we're doing work, we're not levitating to where we're going. We're walking. We're walking this out. So we work. As we work, we're walking. We're standing in his presence. We're standing in the work that we're doing. And I love, this is one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I looked at Lawrence and started singing a little bit, because that's how I remember him. That's one of the songs that I remember him playing with New Hope. And I love that song. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. See, unmovable doesn't mean we're stuck. Unmovable means in our stance, in our belief, in that splendor, in that honor. Our word is our bond. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I love this one. We already sang about it. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We are free worshipers. We are free. Lord, we're free. I love it when the songs line up and we hadn't even talked about it. Excuse me. So we are in this place so that we can be made free. Why? So that we can be one as he and the Father are one, okay? So that we may behold his glory. In order for us to behold the gift that is given to us, that is his glory, we have to be equipped to handle it, as it were. So it's going to take our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our mouth. And that's where we are beholding his glory, because now our mind is all wrapped up in his. We'll think twice about what we're going to say now. We'll think twice about what we're going to think. Because now it's sealed, y'all. Sorry. We are one. Don't you just love knowing that? We are one. And he told us why. That they may be where I am. Not in the heaven, not in the sweet by and by. Mm-mm. One. That's where he is. I want to go where Jesus is. Really? That was a nice song from back in the day. I want to go where Jesus is. We want to go. Where are we going? We are going to be one with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Spirit. It was another one song that popped in my head, but that one just came out. So what does this mean for us? Y'all know I love baptism and communion. So the water, every time we wash our hands, every time we wash our hair, every time we wash our bodies, now we can really think about that one ship, what we're being washed into. And today we're gonna eat. And what is the beauty of this communion? We are eating into oneness and Christ's glory. And it's called communion. Because why? We are sharing and exchanging of the most intimate thought and feelings. Jesus, have you ever thought about Jesus sharing how he feels with you? How about that for oneness? Y'all know I like the secular songs. The song just came to my mind. How does it feel? Somebody know D'Angelo in the house. How does it feel to know that Jesus loves us so much? He wants to share how he feels. What you thinking about, girl? Just imagine Jesus say, I want to tell you what I'm thinking about. Especially when the exchange is spiritual, emotional, and mental. And with Jesus, he gets all of them all at once. And that communion also makes us one, because guess what? We have the fellowship, the kinship. We are his friends. Now, he said that in John 15 now. No longer do I call you servants. I call you friend. John 15, 16. You didn't choose me, girl. I chose you. And I anointed you. Choose ye this day. Jesus already chose us. And it was about that closeness I told y'all I used to cry about trying to have it. That closeness, that ultimate oneship. And about harmony, Miss Martha, you sing in harmony, don't you? When you sing, some people are just natural harmonizers. Being in harmony, just imagine singing with Jesus. Just imagine. You have the high part, I'll take the low. Connection, understanding. Can you imagine Jesus telling you a joke? It's rapport. Can y'all imagine Jesus telling you a joke? You are one with me. Ah, you just joking, Jesus. I mean it. You know you don't mean it. Nah, seriously. He communicates with us, shows us how to be in agreement, not in a Honda Accord, but his accord. And it's all about that unity. That's what having the bread and having the cup means for us. You can pass them out. That's what, when we eat the bread and eat of the cup, that's what it means for us. Elder brother is saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. People didn't understand that. What does that mean for us right now? Elder brother says, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, well, he's already risen it up. But destroy the temple of being separated from the Father. Destroy that temple of being set apart from him. And when I say set apart, I'm not talking about from the sanctification part. Thank you, brother. Destroy those temples of tradition. Misunderstandings so that we can really experience where he is, where he wants us to be with him. That's what communion is about. We know that his blood was poured out for many for the sake of love. As we eat today, knowing that we have been washed pure, whole, and complete by the shed blood of Jesus, the body, we're eating into oneness today. We're eating into being nurtured so that we can understand what it means for us to be one with the Father and one with the Son. We're eating into that into that given glory. So let us eat. And as you drink, we're drinking the holy elixir of life that's been poured out for all, for many, so that we may be one as he and the Father are one, that we may be where he is, sharing in that glory, something that I didn't think was a part of the blessings and the promises. But it's nothing like having eliminations, extractions, excavations, expansions, and excursions, and being hollowed out so he can fill us up with a brand new truth of what he prayed for us. And so, if you will, stand on your feet. This morning, as we pray, help us to remember. Just think about the glory and what Jesus has prayed for us. What does that mean for us? Will we be married acting single? I know this sounds kind of strange, but they showed me this morning. Will we be married acting single? We haven't shaken it all off. And I was like, what does that mean, Jesus? What they are telling us is, it's time for us to shake off those ideas of unworthiness. Our continued distraction by our not being good enough, us being his servant, all of those things, that separateness, they said, that's like you are married and you acting like you're single. You are one with me now, miss. We are now one with them. Now, are we going to act like we're still sinners saved by grace? Y'all understand what I mean when I say it, don't you? Or are we going to walk into that adoption, that wholeness, that holiness that has been bestowed upon us? How you going to act? Look at somebody and say, how we going to act? How are we going to act? I didn't realize how deep it went. But that's what happens when he takes you on an archaeological dig. Treasures upon treasures. Blessings, 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 blessings on blessings. We're free. So we have to keep our minds free. A free mind can't look in the mirror and see us the way we once did. A great gift has been given us. So think of it in terms of marriage. I was married now. Think of being married. And you can no longer act single if you're truly committed. Look at somebody say, I'm fully committed. I'm fully committed. Lord, we thank you and we just lift you up. Lord, thank you for marrying us into oneness, true oneness, not like Adam and Eve who were one flesh. But you have made us one with you. You have given us your glory that way that we may be where you and the Father are, one. You're so generous, so extremely abundantly generous. And for this, we say thank you. Sometimes thank you doesn't seem like it's enough, but thank you for giving us your glory, for showing us how to behold it, showing us how to receive it. Showing us all we have to do is remember that we are one with you. We're not single anymore, meaning we are separate from you. We are one with you, means that we are joined with you as in holy matrimony. It's a oneness that can never be separated. And for this, we say thank you. Just for thinking so much of us, for loving us so much. And now as we leave this place, lift your hands in surrender and acceptance. As we leave this place, let us leave knowing and believing that we are one with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And let Christ's glory truly open the eyes of our spirit so that we are deeply aware of Christ's prayer for us, that we may be one as he and the Father are one, that we may be with him where he is, and that we may behold his glory, which our Father gave him and he to us. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, go forth with God the Father. Go forth with God the Son. Go forth with God the Holy Spirit. And go forth with God with us. Amen. bless your heart.